Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John on a cold night in Myrtle Beach. We got some stars out. We got some stars in the room tonight, I'll tell you that. I'm going to turn this shindig over to the amazing one, the amazing Velvet, and he's going to introduce you to all the stars that we've got in the room tonight. Take it away, Velvet.
All right. First off, from parts unknown, we have Sinister. Sinister, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, brother. How about y'all?
All right, we're doing good. You know, every time you talk, everybody's butts all pucker up. They don't want to get near you, buddy. See, and that laugh by itself is like, I'm not getting in the ring with you. And our very special guest tonight, he's always fun, he's always lit, and he's always where you want to be. Because it's always happy hour somewhere with happy hour. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, man, doing great. You know, you can't be drinking all day if you don't start early, right?
Correct. You are correct. That was great. So, first, before we get into all about what you got going on and this and that and your story, brother, how long have we known each other now? What do you think? I don't know.
Almost seven years now?
Velvet, before we get started, the greatest lady wrestler in the world is coming on.
Lord.
Here is the one and only Susan Green. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Dr. John, Velvet, how y'all doing?
Good. I got Sinister and Happy Hour.
Okay.
Got a cast of characters tonight, okay?
Yeah, Susan's in for a treat tonight.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's get the story started.
Let's get it started.
All
so
right.
We've known each other probably about 7 years now at this point. And I heard a little bit about your story over the past few years, you know. You have an interesting story. So let's break it down like this. First of all, how did you get hooked up in this crazy business? What got you into it? And how did you get started? So you break it down that way. You start where you basically, you know, how you fell in love. Let's go. Hit it.
All right.
It's all you.
You know, it's funny. Most people who get into pro wrestling start, have some inspiration that's just like, man, I dream of being a pro wrestler. Man, it starts off with some kind of natural want because they like what they've seen so far. Well, my case is a little different. So what happened was I had a baseball scholarship at Georgia Tech. Like moving 1,000 miles away from home because I'm originally from New York City. I was exposed to freedoms I never knew, 1,000 miles away from home. You don't have mom and dad trying to snoop in on you, every minute, making sure you're being good. So, with so much freedom, I ended up flunking out of Georgia Tech in about a year and a half. So, flunking out, I'm just like, man, now I'm kind of on my own, need to figure out how to make a living because, no scholarship, no housing and no nothing else. I actually had to be responsible for myself. So I was doing gigs in security, bouncer at clubs and concert security. So one guy came up to me. He was a promoter for a small indie in Georgia. He was actually in, what was it, Douglasville, Georgia. So he comes up to me and he's like, hey, you've got a big build and you're pretty muscular. Have you ever thought about being a professional wrestler? We can pay you XX, whatever amount, show up. And if you look good and you like it, it's not much work. I mean, that's literally what the guy told me. He said, for you, it's not going to be that much effort. Show up, do a match, make a little cash because it looks like you need some cash. And that's how it began. That's how I started breaking in. Then, other promoters are like, oh, this kid, he's like 6'2", 270. So at the time, I weighed about 270. And he was like, yeah, he's bigger than most of the guys we feature on our shows. So we want that guy. So a few other small indies picked me up. And one guy was just like, man, with your size and build, you could be a real star. And that's when, you know, because I was so naive and so young, I mean, we're talking, I was like 20, 21 years old at the time. And I didn't know, I barely knew left from right at that point. And when it comes to the wrestling, the business side of wrestling, I didn't know squat. So I was basically getting tossed around doing stupid stuff, things that nobody that green should ever be allowed to
right.
do. And they're having me do it just because it looked great, but there's no way an untrained greenie should ever be doing the stuff that I was doing back then. So, you know, time goes along. I keep getting bookings wherever I go just because promoters love someone of this size, especially if, you know, half your or three-fourths of your roster are either shorter, smaller, skinnier, or can barely move in the ring. So, you know, I just kept getting bookings, and, you know, they didn't care that I was untrained. They were just selling my look. So,
right.
you know, really that far in, I can deliver big hits and I can take bumps. That's about all I could do, and technically still untrained at the time. So later down the road, promoter was like, hey, you've got a great look. And this was when I moved to Michigan. So I moved from Georgia to Louisiana and then up to Michigan. So up in Michigan, one of the promoters was like, hey, you know what? Show up once a week. Work with our wrestlers, train with our wrestlers a little bit here and there. So that way you have like a smarter idea of how to do things. Like, for example, things that I learned, you know, basics like the international, or I learned proper footwork on during chain or lockup. I learned the actual sequence. I mean, you know, all I used to know before that is what a double down was. I didn't know the specific ideas like hope spots, cutoffs, and things like that. All of that was new to me until somebody took the time. Just took a little time to explain, practice some with me. So, you know, while it's not formal training, I was actually getting training in a ring instead of just someone telling me just go with it. So I was actually going through some motions here, and at the very least, I'll call it practice, not training, but at the least, practice is better than nothing, or, you know, what you see in half of the yard promotions in Georgia.
Right.
So that was a good start. So then I moved to South Carolina. And when I moved to South Carolina, I didn't get back in wrestling right away. It was a few years. So after a few years, I got in. Gov brought me in. And it was on one of his shows that I met you, Velvet. And, you know, Gov's thing was very short-lived. And then you and I started working together, you know, trying to get some wrestling going in the Charleston area. And we picked it up from there. When I moved to Pittsburgh, I decided to enroll in PWX. Basically, PWX was the old NWA East. So in the
right.
olden days, that was NWA East, where guys like Paul Atlas, Quinn Magnum. In fact, Quinn Magnum was my trainer when I enrolled in PWX. So Quinn Magnum put me through his training process, and I ended up graduating. And this is when PWX converted over to Fight Society. So I made my debut in Pittsburgh in Fight Society. And from that point on, at the very least, you know, mind you, I'm approaching 50 years old, so I don't
right.
move like I used to. Psychology is really important. So, that's one thing I learned, because before I was just kind of trying to figure out the psychology, and whatever I did that caught on was just me kind of using some trial and error and figuring it out on my own. But when you try to figure things out on your own, it's raw. It's not polished. It's not refined.
Right.
So actually going through a top-tier training school, that helped me refine things, polish things. And now I'm getting booked on super indie shows, and that's just it. Going through that, I can't stress it enough how important it is to the young wrestlers out there. Go to a proper wrestling school. It will matter a lot, because if you don't, you know, and you're happy where you're at as far as, you know, getting booked on small scale shows and not necessarily going up, that's fine. Then, you know, you keep doing you, just be safe and be focused. But if you want to do things above the single A, and I'm going to use major league stuff, single A, double A, triple A, big leagues would be, WWE and AEW, you know, and triple A would be something like, OVW, Ring of Honor, Major League Wrestling. So, you know, if you're lucky and you're just have a lot of natural talent, without proper training school, you can probably go from single A to double A. However, you almost assuredly will never get from double A to triple A unless you're like a legacy or something. And if you are a legacy, I guarantee you've been trained and you didn't realize it. But if you want to do more than possibly have a small, like a low percentage chance at double A, go to a proper training school. I get it. We all begin. We all have our different beginnings. But if you're looking ahead, go to a training school for wrestling. Okay. That's me. I'm done. But that being said, the last couple of years, I've had a few shows with you down in South Carolina. And I think it's fair to say, you know, you saw the difference between me in like 2015 and me now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
What I can do in the ring and what I can do with the craft.
Right. Well, that's you know, owning it and taking it and learning what you know, finishing what you started, even though it took you, years to do, but you still did it, you know.
Right.
You didn't give up. You didn't just say, oh, well, I'm not doing this anymore, or I'm not going to do. You went at an older age and basically redid yourself and reinvented yourself and polished everything up. Here's the big difference. And you know what? We've had, Susan and I've seen a lot of kids that she's taken in that basically learned all what they learned on the independent scene, you know, and that was rough for them, but even rougher to basically start over, because Susan will break you down and bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll learn
exactly.
From the bottom.
Well, no,
back
I
up.
Mean, that's just it. Sometimes you got to do that. If you have a bone that heals poorly, you've got to re-break it and start it over.
Right. Isn't that right, Susan?
Oh, yeah. Because you have them come in and they say, well, they taught me this way and this is the way we do it in Connecticut or this. And it's like, well, we're not in Connecticut anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
yep.
I mean, you know,
remember,
I'll say this, especially to repeat it for the younger folks out there. I graduated from PWX a few years ago at age 43. At age 43, I graduated from the school. That doesn't mean the learning stopped, but I graduated from
wrestling
school.
No, your learning never stopped,
age
right.
43, and now, a few years after that, I have a booking in Tampa WrestleMania weekend. I've done a good number of super indie shows. So, in fact, WrestleMania weekend, I'm on the pre-show for GCW, and ODB is going to be on the GCW show, and I'm going to make sure that I bring beers down and she and I pound some beers and I catch it on film.
Damn right. And get me an autograph while you're at it. Hey, if she's wrestling, listen, I'm going to be a mark, dang, I'm right. And if she is actually going to work a show here or there, we need to hook that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
if not,
at least bring her food truck in with her.
Well, I mean, we'll figure something out one way or the other, because, you know, I mentioned to her, hey, it's too bad she's not up in Pittsburgh because I own a brewery and her food truck would do great. And she's like, damn, that sounds great.
Right. Exactly. Mark, I'm a Mark. Thank you. Yeah. Mark, I met Matt Burns, you know, all those crazy people, you know. So,
yep.
You know. So, with that said, my thing is this. Who on these super indie shows have you worked? I've heard a few, but who are some of the people you've worked on these super indie shows?
All right. Well, on a couple of them, they were Rumble style. So there was one event that I did where the Rumble, during the Rumble, Madman Fulton was in the Rumble. He chokeslammed me. Beastman was Congo Kong was
Beastman,
part of the Rumble.
Yeah,
yeah, no, he was. Zach Nystrom was there. I don't think it was the same Rumble, but another Rumble I was in, Wardlow was in the Rumble, as was Andrew Palace. Beastman again, because I can't seem to shake
Get
Beastman.
Get away from him.
Seriously, I've been on a dozen shows with him. No, holy crap. I've been on like maybe 18 to 20 shows with Beastman in the last like 3 years. So I see him.
Well, he's
a good
bit.
I
don't understand how nobody's picked this cat up. I mean, as big
you
as
know,
he is,
funny.
He can work.
Yeah, he can work, but it's particularly the last 4 years. I've seen him really make the leap in the last 4 years because he's only been in wrestling for 10 years now. And the last 4 years in particular, like on Fight Society,
yeah.
I worked a lot of Fight Society and Black Diamond with them. And that's where I saw him take that next leap. So he really started.
Go ahead.
3 years ago.
What are you going to say, Susan?
Oh, I was just talking. It's okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here, I'll tell you something else. I'm not going to name any names, but a person we all know have been going down to the Nightmare Factory and hasn't gotten a dark match, hasn't gotten anything where we got these kids who can barely tie their shoes in the ring they got. they don't know how to do anything. Well, let me just jump off the top rope to the outside about five times. Let me run through the, you know, let's just go do all this crazy stuff. All right, well, that's cool. But you got a big guy who's probably bigger than everybody you got there, not using him, not looking at him, can outwork pretty much everybody there, and can out-promo them. Well, let's see. Still not getting it. And so I asked him, I said, listen. I said, what's going on? He goes, it's political, brother. I said, really? It's that freaking political? So I said, I know what it's all about. And he goes, what's that? I said, it's called the Friends, Family, and Lovers Program. You're either a friend, family member, or you're having sex with them. That's how you get on the show. That's some crap, man. Come on, man.
That
is. It is stupid. I mean, Sinister, if we put you with him and y'all walked in the door, holy crap. For that matter, take Big Hoss. Bring Big Hoss in to put him in that mix. They would probably crap their pants when they saw him walk in the door and then get in the ring and can go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
yeah,
whole thing. He can beat the little man up.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but yeah. But I'm just saying, it's beyond me why anybody would not look at any of these guys, especially look at one of them. We'll just say it now. Look at Terrell, you know, Big Game James. He was the one that's down there. I just say, I put it out there. I don't think he's going to care because he's not. I mean, he's really not getting nothing out of it. They're stringing his ass along just like WWE did. And
yeah.
He can outwork those guys. He out-promoed those guys. He's not getting a shot. Well, I mean, look at it.
And he don't have to use a fake voice for his voice. Whenever he speaks, that's the way he speaks.
It's, right.
Yep.
That like
exactly.
Right. Just like Sinister's voice. That's not fake. That's his voice. You know, it bothers me that, you know, I think, see, everybody knows Carolina boys don't put up with no crap. They know how to protect themselves, and you're not going to shoot on one of them because if you do, you're going to get hurt. Well, everybody knows that, okay?
Yeah,
well,
especially if they went through my school.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But a lot of them know the same stuff. A lot of them, I give credit to some of them that they've figured that out. You know, yeah. Carolina boys are tough, and B, you know, you better know how to take care of yourself. Well, I would say a lot of us do, and a lot of us really do because of Susan and listening to what she had to say and protecting yourself and how to do it. Anyway, it's just, I didn't mean to get off on a rant, but the whole thing is it's ridiculous. You see these clowns, they get, and they can't work. And you're like, why are they on TV? Yeah. Hey,
he said that they're either friendly friends or they're having sex with somebody.
Right. That's what I just said, exactly. Sinister, do you know James Drake?
I've heard of that. I've heard of that name before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you know who James Drake is, Happy Hour.
Yes, I do. I've been on shows with him.
He's getting a dark match with Eddie Kingston this week on AEW. Why?
Well,
cool. I mean, it's good for him, but I just want to know why. He can't outwork Terrell in any which way, shape, or form.
Well, I can tell you this.
Tyrell's body ought to do a lot of speaking for itself also.
Thank you. Exactly. Go ahead.
This is a man that don't take any abuse, and he ain't got a muscle one that ain't defined.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, here's another thing. And this is why even a lot of people told me this is why they stopped watching wrestling. Because, like, AEW, I don't mean to cut them guys down, but they turn it into a comedy show, you know. It's like you take the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks whipping up on FTR or Young Bucks whipping up on a team like the legendary Road Warriors. And, it's, you know, and a lot of people see that and they just turn away from it because you really don't have any gimmicks anymore. And like this, I like the classic wrestling because in a real fight, in the street, who in the world is going to do a somersault in the air and catch you with a hurricanrana?
Nobody.
Right, exactly.
It's not going to work in a real fight.
Right, I'm going to go look for a car to jump off of to hit you.
Exactly.
That's some golden eye level.
Oh my god. He's got a great point. Got a great point. So what's all right? So now we fast forward. You've done all that in the wrestling business, and to get to where you are today. Tell everybody what you just got going on now in Pennsylvania that you just became a partnership of. Tell us about that.
Sure. So just recently, like in the last 1 month, myself and a few other guys purchased 412 Brewing in Pittsburgh. So yes, not only is Happy Hour a wrestler who drinks beer, but now Happy Hour is a wrestler who produces the beer that he drinks. So, you know, all of the above. You see, Happy Hour is not just a gimmick. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle now. So have y'all done any major changes to the 412 brewery process? Anything? Y'all fixed the place anything?
Two things. On the visible side, we're going to redo the brand, basically redo the logo, make it ours and make it more noticeable because, you know, we stepped in and we're experienced beer people, so we want to make it clear that we mean business. That's one. Two, the library of beers, the beers that used to be brewed back under the previous regime, no longer the case. We're definitely going to have a full variety of styles. I mean, you know, right now, we have a couple of IPAs, we have a Kolsch, we have an English Mild, we have a British Golden Ale, and we have a Mango Sour. So we're going to have fruited beers, we're going to have IPAs, we'll start having darker beers some more, and we'll always have either a lager or a Pilsner on. And I'm particularly a fan of Kolsch's. So we're going to have, it's either going to be a Kolsch lager or it's going to be a Helles lager all year round.
Nice. Very good. So how is this place? How big is your place now? I mean, you said it was between PNC Park and the other park, and then you got a venue for a concert. So, well, how big is your spot compared to
our
something
spot
that I would
know
down here?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So basically, remember Craft Conundrum?
Right.
So let's say, for example, if you cut that the space, that free space in half, where the couches were, if you cut that space in half, it's basically bar plus that. Right now, with pandemic restrictions, we can only do like half capacity. So we have things spaced out. But otherwise, once we're back to full capacity, we can fit like 50 people inside. Plus, we have a patio space, which, you know, whenever we have the new normal, we'll probably have like seven or eight tables back there. So we can definitely have a decent crowd.
Good, 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 good. Well, that sounds good. Susie, do you remember Happy Hour? You remember Adam, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's going to we're going to see. I'm going to leave it in his capable hands. He's supposed to be talking to the guy that runs, what's it,
Intergender Bonanza?
Intergender Bonanza, where we could do, hopefully you and me and Happy Hour and somebody else we can get to come and be on that. That'd be awesome as a tag team.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. See,
well, either tag team or you can always do a one-on-one, have the feature match that you you challenged Susan on that podcast with Strobe. So I'm just like, you know what? How about you get that on an actual intergender program so it fits the theme too?
True. I'll take another beating. I got two kendo sticks you can break over me.
I promise to use one at a time.
Okay.
Decide on a safe word first.
Safe word. Listen, you ain't telling her no damn safe word. That ain't going to happen. She'll be like, what? What? I hear the mother. Safe word, my ass. Yeah, you know what her safe word is? You said what to me? You called me what? You're taking a beat down.
My first match in Japan, I got 35 stitches, and I didn't get no anesthesia for it. I know what a beat down is.
Oh, yeah. Fun stuff.
Oh,
of course,
man.
I learned what each time meant real fast.
One more thing I should bring up since we're on the beer and wrestling subject. So in September, I'm hoping we at least can start having events before we get to September, because I want to have this event. This is going to be sort of a one-of-a-kind event in Pittsburgh. Since 2020 knocked out a lot of indie wrestling shows, 2020 knocked out almost all beer festivals. So this one event I'm putting on in September is going to be a beer and wrestling festival. So it's going to be smaller scale because I want to make sure we're not packing people in like sardines. So looking at maybe 20 to 25 breweries, about 400-ish tickets, and wrestling on the show. So
nice.
I figure if nothing else, I can actually give out one of the matches. So I'm on the show, there's going to be a women's cup, a tag team cup, and a men's cup. So the women's cup match will be a four-way elimination match featuring Tatiana Rose, Scarlett, who graduated from PWX also, the American bombshell Danny Gray, who's on IWC, and Big Bang Ronnie Nicole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be quite the match. I will say this, Velvet, you're going to like this. So one of the tag teams in the tag team cup is the Runway.
Yes.
Calvin Couture and Tyler Klein.
Yeah.
And also updated news, I just signed today for the show Hardcore Hammer Time. So Hardcore Dan.
Oh, nice.
And the Country Hammer, Jamie Jameson. So that's going to be a really good one. And the other, the theme, I'm going to, all of the, most of the wrestlers are going to be from the Pittsburgh area. The wrestlers who are from the Pittsburgh area, I'm going to have them pair up with one of the breweries that will be at the event, and they will brew a beer to represent that wrestler at the event.
Right. Well, don't forget about the big boys down here like Hoss and Big Game James, L.A. Tank, and Susan. She's a big boy, too.
But I was going to say, if this event goes well this year, if this event does go well or, you know, debuts well, I'm going to negotiate a twice-a-year deal, like, you know, one spring and one fall every year going forward. So that's what I'm hoping
I'm saying if you, but if you need some, you need some guaranteed talent. You know, listen, we'll drive up there. We'll rent a car and or a van, and we'll be like, we're on the way.
I mean, if the event takes off, absolutely, definitely. I want to be place that wrestlers want to drive to. You know.
Well, the biggest thing is, like I said, if you already got pretty much what you want done, that's cool. But, you know, there's always going to be a last minute, oh, I can't show, or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
You should always have backups. You know, if we tell you we coming.
Oh, no.
We will be
you.
There.
No. I absolutely agree. I'm saying if this show starts taking off, so that way it has more interest for next year, especially if we have a newer normal next year and I can do a larger space, because if it takes or I can increase the capacity, you know, more tickets obviously means bigger budget, means I can pay talent that's coming a long ways. Like, one thing that's helping with my budget is all the talent is either
in and around
Pennsylvania or Ohio, so everybody's within a few hours. So that actually helps with the cost a lot, and I don't have to worry too much
about
hotel costs, because there's actually a hotel right next to the venue that they would do discounting. But first sure, I want to see how the budget goes, and then this is really what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping to make sure that there's greater demand for this next year. If it goes off well, more people want in, and I can expand tickets and. You know what? I want this to be the hottest ticket in town.
Right, exactly. You want to make money. You want to have sponsorship money. You want to have everybody be able to do what they're supposed to do. And go out without a hitch. But there'll always be a hitch. But the only thing is, as long as you keep doing what you're doing, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to do it. You know how to do it right. You know the business side of and the financial side, which is smart. You know, a lot of people don't know that part of it.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
But so definitely helps. I want to right now, it won't happen for me in South Carolina. I will never be able to wrestle in South Carolina again unless something miraculous happens here. I'm looking at going into North Carolina and Georgia hopefully soon, hopefully this year. That'd be nice. I already have a venue here for Charleston at Holy City. We're just waiting. They want to wait and see what's going to happen. I'm going to go talk to Firefly here this week and say, hey, you know, I sold a show over here at Holy City. What do y'all want to do? Y'all want one? And, you know, I would like to – my brewery tour, I'd like to do it differently. I would like to get the breweries that can hold an outdoor show – or an indoor show, which I don't think there's anyone here that can do an indoor show, but do an outdoor show, right? Say I get five or six of them that are, they say yes. So we have five or six shows. Then coming into September, like you, get all the breweries together and do the same thing. Have a get together somewhere and have a big shindig, brew fest, and have us wrestle. I think that would be awesome too. I'm not trying to steal your thunder.
Velvet,
I've thought
Velvet,
about
this.
This
is
Dr.
John.
Go ahead.
We got Professor Wrestling Steve Logan on with us now.
Whoop whoop, Professor Steve. What's up, buddy?
Doing good. Just listening in. Velvet, please continue.
Happy hour. Professor Steve is all about the Japanese wrestling. You ask him anything about Japanese wrestling, he knows it.
don't put that pressure on me.
Come on, Steve. You know more than the average wrestling fan when it comes to Japanese wrestling. Okay.
That's right. All right.
We'll leave it at that.
Yes, you do, Steve. This is Dr. John. If I say it, it's true.
Yeah, it's true, right?
That's right.
That's right. So, I want to go back to something you said earlier, and I know you told me this before, and I know these I know these listeners on here now and the ones that were listening earlier. I know you went real quick through your progression of wrestling. So what happened with that dream to play baseball? Did it die when you got kicked out of college? Did you try to go do it again, or that was like the end-all, be-all?
Just about. Around 1997, I went to a tryout, a minor league tryout, and it just that's one of those things that you can't just put down for a couple of years, come back, and expect to have the same reflexes or conditioning. So that's what happened.
Right.
Tried out, found out that was too long a layoff, just even not even doing anything related to conditioning for baseball. So, and it showed.
Well, oh, yeah.
So.
I mean, it's like I'm a little bit older, and I've been through the ringer. I've been like Susan, except, of course, Susan's way stronger than I am. I've been through the ringer, and I'm helping these boys on this Division III, the bottom tier flag football team. And I'm gonna tell you something. I can throw the ball. That's about it. you asked me to cover. If I had to cover somebody to save my life, I just lay down right now and say, yeah, you go right on ahead. In my heyday, I could outrun everybody. I could outrun everybody at 45. When it breaks it at 48, when all this went down, that was it. I've been on the shelf for 5 years. I went out to run around. Plus, I'm at 205 again right now. Yeah, that ain't happening. My legs are like, hey, fat boy, what are you doing to us? we're used to 150 to 165 pounds. Hello. Where'd all this extra weight come from? Well, thank COVID for me having to sit around and do nothing and not go anywhere. You know, fun stuff.
Yep.
But So when's the next time you coming down to old Chucktown and down to South Kakalaki? Do you know yet?
I'm guessing it might be sometime middle of spring because my girlfriend's daughter is in nursing school at MUSC, so we're definitely going to come down sometime in the next couple of months or so. So that way they can definitely visit. So I imagine I'll be down in Chucktown at least twice this year, if not more. So yeah, you can definitely bank on that.
We're gonna try to, like I said, if I can get Holy City Brewing to actually commit to something, which I know they won't. It's just gonna be like everybody wants to run and everybody's running in South Carolina. That's great. But I'm sorry, all it takes is one person to catch COVID, and that's a done deal,
exactly.
Whether it's a wrestler or a fan. And, you know, these people don't understand this. You know, I've gotten in the last probably 3 weeks, 100 people sent me a message talking about when's Battleground going to run a show. I said, not until we get, into a better situation in life. And I've had people complain, and I'm like, dude, really? They said, well, OSCW's running the show. I said, well, good. I said, let JoJo and them get in trouble, and that's the end of his show.
That's just it. If somebody gets COVID at one of his shows, then people will be like, oh, is that the wrestling place that had the COVID infection or something like that? That's
exactly.
All that's all you need to go
all
around and that'll kill. Yep.
Exactly. And nobody wants that. You know, and I know that Georgia's wide open and they're run and so is Florida. Between the two of them, they're running wide open. That's fine. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you because you know what? I can't do it, and I'm not gonna do it. I couldn't put Susan at risk, Sinister, you, me. Of course, I'm running the show in South Carolina. I can't do anything. But I'm just saying, all of that stuff. Anybody, a fan, you know, all it takes is that one time. That's it. One time and one person. You know, that's all it takes. It's like, come on, man. Are you kidding me right now? And the funny thing was, I know a show that had an average of 160 people was their average. And it was supposed to be less people, less seating and you know, all that for COVID. They still had 160 people. They still met their average. They didn't cut down. They didn't do nothing. I said, see, that's something that they didn't pay attention to. And you can't do that.
Exactly.
You know, so I won't do that. All right, Steve, go.
Yeah, you said you were doing security. Were you doing music venue security? Did you mention that earlier?
Yeah, I was doing music venue, event security, basically, and as well as bouncer at clubs.
What's, like, the wildest concert you worked on?
So, believe it or not, the wildest, you'd be surprised when I say this, but when I give the explanation, it'll make sense. Remember the band from the 90s, Live?
Oh yeah, they did the Money music video too.
Yep. So was that Throwing Chopper? Was the album? So the thing is, you know, if I said somebody harder, and I tell you that you know what to expect from that, so it's like, you know, while there's chaos, it's at least chaos with a code, whereas Live, people are not sure whether they go harder or they go softer. So it's chaos because nobody knows what's up, and then you get random unexpected mosh pits at a live concert, which I'm just like, are you moshing the Live, really? Do you have no clue? Did your parents not love you? You know? I mean, so did you eat too many cornflakes? I don't know.
No, did you eat the cocaine cornflakes you just found?
You know, hey, it is what it is, man. You do you. But in all seriousness, that was because nobody knew what to expect, what was going on. So it was chaos without a pattern, chaos without a code. And that's when I was just like, I really had to start throwing people out. Though the security thing didn't die off, because even when I was living in Charleston, I was doing security consulting for private events. So, Velva, you know Charleston Distilling Company downtown on King Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to have special high-end private events.
Yeah,
One of them was a private Darius Rucker concert for the wealthy elites of Charleston, or like a VIP party where it was basically all rich businessmen and doctors and whatnot. So what happened was this was happening on a Saturday night. So King Street in general is just chock full of people.
Of course.
Drunken people. You know, once you get to like 10 p.m. on, you've got drunken people all up and down King Street. So what's happening is there were these drunken fools, you know, bar hopping, trying to get in. I'm like, no, this is a private party. I can't let you in. So you know, they start coming in, lining up about six deep. I'm just like, you guys, if I tell you one more time, I'm going to have to physically kick you out. So they're sitting there being stupid. I took like two steps back
and then charged at him and basically gored a whole lot like kebabs on a skewer. It was like kebabs on a skewer. I ended up just bull rushing six people out in a stack.
Nice.
So that was my weirdest experience.
I would like to get him. I went to high school with him. I wish he would help us out. But he's a big wrestling fan, but, you know, he's a part of that elite status now since he became famous. He's at Mount Pleasant, elite Daniel Island crap. So, yeah, it's even though he's getting divorced, gee, I wonder why. You know, if you were nicer to people, you know, maybe you wouldn't be getting divorced. But anyway, I mean, I don't know what happened there. I don't care. I got a girl that I went to high school with in the same class. She's really good friends with him. She goes to everything he does. You know, when he had the concert at the Ballo Stadium here and this and that, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And I'm like, and I try to tell her, I say, hey, help us out. Let me get a sit down with him or tell him, text me something, anything, and, you know, have him get me some of that elite money so we can have a show at the tennis center here. Nope, can't do it. He won't do it. I'm like, no, it's not that he won't do it. It's the fact that he's just being a jerk.
Right.
But, you know, that's how famous people get, you know, when they forget where they came from. Oh, I moved home. Well, great, you moved home, but you still forgot where you came from. So, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, let's get back to wrestling. Sinister. Did he leave?
Did we lose him?
Let me check.
Okay, you check.
Oh, he's back.
Oh,
hold on.
Put him back on.
Sinister, are you back with us? You back with us, Sinister?
Hello.
Sir.
You there, Sinister? Hello.
I don't know. Anyway.
He's having a little bit of problem connecting. So we'll as soon as he comes
okay,
in, I'll let you know.
Okay. So,
okay.
We want to get back.
Now. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Phone went out.
Hey, Sinister, are you there?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's
back.
There's
all
the
right.
voice.
No entrance music.
You don't want that scary. You don't want that scary entrance music. I'm a run. Just when he laughs, it's like my butt puckers up. What are you talking about? Hear it? Yeah, no, I'm good. I'll be hearing that in my sleep.
And laugh off.
Oh, it would be close, sir. I'll tell you that right now. It would be close. It really would. That would be a good – I'd like to see that, actually. That'd be awesome. But I want to see Sinister back in a ring for Battleground, hopefully sometime soon. That'd be nice. Happy Hour will be back sometime soon. I know Susie's probably in the same position I'm at as far as South Carolina's concerned. I don't know. Are you in that boat with me or what?
They're trying to put me in that boat, but they ain't going to get me there.
I hear you. I got you. I got. Well, my thing is because of what I'm going through, they're not going to. My doctors ain't going to sign off.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, my doctor sits there and say, don't, and it's like try to make me stop.
Yeah. Here, like that sign says, you know, I change my mind.
Yeah.
Stop suit. I'm going to stop Susan Green from wrestling. No, you're going to go through that damn table that said change my mind. That's what's going to happen.
No. You know what I want to see? I'd love to see someone do a meme with that guy that says wrestling is fake, change my mind, and somebody end up dropping on him from up top.
That'd be nice too. I did hear a little Sabu. Birdie told me, yeah, right, Sabu. A birdie told me, Susan, that Judy said she had a couple matches left in her. That's what I said.
They might
too.
Be in her, but she ain't gonna be able to produce.
Listen, I laughed so hard I hurt myself.
So in her left hand or in her right hand?
Oh Lord!
In between her ears.
Oh, damn it! Wow! Dang! If she heard that, go ahead.
But I got a question for Susan. Hey, Susan, when is they on WWE?
WWE don't look at me as being one of their wrestlers. I wrestle for their WWF, and he doesn't honor who worked for his father. It would probably take a major petition to get somebody that worked for his father in there that didn't work for him.
Ain't many of them left.
No. Black Jack Mulligan was my training partner, and when he made it in, it was just because they were wanting his sons and his grandkids. So he sat there and said, it didn't matter how much money I made for the father. It was that Junior wanted his siblings to be able to make him money.
Of course. The bad thing about all of that is the brainwashing that happened through those years. It's all brainwashing. Mm-hmm. It's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's what you believe and what they came out of their mouth is what it is. Oh, well, we can't have her. We can't have her. Well, why can't we have her?
Yeah.
It just goes that way. Go ahead.
Well, whenever Senior actually called me before he signed China and asked me, was I willing to work? And I sat there and said, well, I'll do it exactly what I did for your father, which means one piece bathing suit. I'm not going to expose my body. And I'm too darn old to be taking any juice to shorten my life any quicker than I'm going to shorten it myself. And he said, well, thank you for being honest. We don't need this time. I will say that Junior was honest with me, saying he didn't need me because he was going to ask me to do both of the things that I refused to do.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't, because it ain't worth it to be. If you look at some of the people who did all that, where are they at today?
Most of them are in their graves.
Gone.
I look at poor Joni, China. She is wanting us to be sisters or niece and nephew, and it was like. Our niece and aunt and niece, and I sat there and said, we could easily win because without those platform shoes, she was actually shorter than me. We worked a lot alike whenever she came and worked out with me, and then I got her on with the PGWHF, and he's the one that actually sent the tapes to Vince on how good she was.
Right.
A lot of natural talent, And I got her over into Holland because I said, there's nothing I can train you to do that Kowalski hadn't already trained you. And other than I'll send you to Holland. And then she got a 3 weeks of working over there with those girls. And then Vince called her. So.
Nope.
Had a good run, but she cut her life short because of what she did to get that run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. But look at some of the ladies, I don't call them ladies because they weren't wrestlers. But those divas that did all the exposing and dumb stuff, where are they at today? You don't see them either. You know why you don't see them either? Because it was a one-and-done situation. They were only there for TNA. They showed their TNA. And once they were done with that, he got rid of all of them.
Yep.
I mean, the only one that got out of that TNA realm of showing it was Trish Stratus, who actually went and got trained, came back, and became a damn good wrestler.
Oh yeah.
Even though she had to dumb some of her stuff down for some of the little angels that didn't know what they were mm-hmm. doing. You know, divas. I mean, you only had, out of those divas, I think maybe two were trained out of the 15 they had at one time.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, seriously.
Like Michelle McCool breaking her shoulder. They told her, yeah, it's cool, just jump off the top rope, land on her, it'll be all right. She broke her shoulder in a match.
Oh, for crying.
She didn't know what she
out.
Was doing. Yep. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They told her, here, you'll be fine. Yeah, okay, she's a stick, number one. What's she going to catch herself with? Toothpicks? That's what her arms were, toothpicks. I mean, come on, man. What the hell?
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it is what it is. So, question for Happy Hour. How different, since you brought it up earlier, how different is wrestling up north versus in the south?
So up north, one thing I noticed that happens a lot more up north, you see more of the international. Down south, I didn't see the international, or barely saw it. I didn't see a lot of it. So up north, you'll see the international be used a lot more. Mind you, whatever variation, but you at least just see the motions of the international done a lot more.
Right.
What you see is you'll see more combinations. What I find is down south, I saw like a lot of like you'll see three in a row arm drags or four in a row arm drags when, you know, it's fine if it's like once in a while or it happens in one match on a show. But when like almost all matches on the show are doing it, and the only matches that don't do it are because the guys just can't move enough to do it. So,
right.
You know, that's just it. Like, you know, finishing off an international, one of the combos that I like or that suits my style is the hip toss, arm drag, body slam finish. Basically, it's the Tennessee spot at the end of the international. So that's,
right.
You know, the way I like to do it. But if I see more variety in chain up north. I see chain, plenty of chain down south, but I see more psychology and in the way things sell in chain up north than I did down south.
Right. Well, you got to realize go ahead. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. Down here, you know, I sit there and tell people that I'm training. They watch the match before them, and they do nothing that they saw in the match before them other than a walk-up. Mm-hmm. And the average move, but if you see them doing arm drags, you don't do them. If you see them doing body slams, you don't see them. If you see them doing arm clotheslines, you don't do them. You know, you stay away from what you see in the match before, because the people can watch, know what happened the match before, but then the match after what you've wrestled, they don't remember what went on in those two matches when the third match comes out. And,
exactly.
And the psychology, it's hard to get the people today to understand psychology. You know, you've got to have a story, and they don't want to tell a story. They want to do what they see WWE do.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Either that or Spot Monkeys, or you have these stupid super kick parties, or everybody doing Canadian Destroyers.
Right.
I mean, come on. Remember when a super kick used to be a finishing move?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
oh, yeah.
A finisher's a finisher, but you see eight in a match.
Right?
I like to hook some of my trainees in matches, and I sit there and they tell me, well, let me up. And I sit there and say, oh, no, this is fake, get up. And I've got them hooked in a hole, and the more they wiggle, the worse it hurts. And it's like, you know, this was a hole. You know, the figure four arm bar, you know, Lou Thesz used it. I learned it from him, and you can roll with it, and it's like, you know, it's going to hurt if you don't go with me. And
right.
You know, you're going to look at getting your shoulders separated if you don't go with me. And it's like,
yep, exactly.
That's crazy. We know holes that really hurt.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh,
yikes.
Man, so one funny story that I'll bring up that's kind of related to Velvet. So like 6 years ago, Velvet taught my ex-wife how to chop.
Oh,
so,
good Lord. Here we go. You've got to listen to this, and then go ahead.
So two-parter. So after she learned how to chop, you know, she'd randomly
do that to me by surprise. You know, I'm just like sitting down on the couch, long day, hanging out. So she'll kind of come around the corner, whoosh!
Well,
she chops yep. better than half of these is yarders that you see try to chop. She did blow a big spot on a recorded program. So up here, this was before Angel Gate, but there was a women's only wrestling show that my ex-wife was the doctor for. And let's see, I think it was Mandy Leon against Maria Manic. So Mandy had Maria set up to be chopped like right next to where me and my ex were sitting. And I was like, oh, honey, go ahead, chop her. Sure. And she blew it. She completely blew it. I guess apparently if it's not me, she misses on the chops.
Well, the other part of that story, Susan, is we were at a place called Craft Conundrum. We were getting a little saucy. And she kept coming up to me saying that she wanted me to chop her. I said, I'm not chopping you. I'm sorry. That's out. About 30 minutes later, she comes back over to me. Come on. You got to chop me. I said, listen, we all been drinking. You know, that's the drinking, you know, the alcohol talking. No, I'm not going to do it. So Susan, she kept on and on and on. So finally I said, okay. So the whole bar has their phones up. There's about 35 people in the place. They all got their phones up. And I said, and she kept, I had my hand holding her hand, arm down, okay, Susie?
Yeah.
I was holding her left, I was holding her left arm down because she kept wanting to pull. I said, no, that arm has to stay here. You can't raise it. So I held it, and I finally said, and I okey-doked her, okay? Because I just kept my hand on her arm. I said, y'all ready? Everybody shaking her head with the cameras. I said, I'm an equal opportunity wrestler. I hit all men, women, children, and handicapped people. And I let go of her, and I chopped shit out of her ass. It rang out, too. I chopped the shit out of her. But to give her props, she did sell it. She dropped the one knee and dropped her head, and everybody got real quiet. I'm like, oh, yeah, she did a good job. She gets up, there's my handprint. She walks around and goes, y'all see this? Y'all see this? You see this handprint? And she's walking around showing everybody the handprint I left on her ass. But she took it like a trooper, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what was said that night when they left or the next day, because I don't know that conversation, if there was one, about the chop. happy hour, you planned, can you elaborate? Was there anything said about that or just that was it?
No, that was it, because I was like, hey, you asked for it, you got it. What are you going to say about it now?
Yeah.
What, you going to complain? You got what you literally asked for?
Right. She kept coming to me, and I even told that. I said, please go tell her that I'm not going to do it. And he went to her and said, honey, not going to happen. Just chill out. And she just kept coming, so I said, screw it. I already had enough to drink, and I said, what the hell? What do I care? I'm not going home with her. I mean, at that point, I was not feeling any pain, and I didn't feel a damn thing. You know, I hit her with my hand. My hand was fine.
Apparently she learned a new life skill. So,
yeah. All right, Steve, what you got?
Yeah. Happy Hour is saying that you're talking about the international work and up north. Was there any foreign talent that he worked with?
So Steve, let me elaborate here. What I meant by the international, there's a combo or a sequence in wrestling called the international. So so basically it's if I throw you off the ropes, you hit me with the shoulder block, and then, you know, when you see the wrestler who hit with the shoulder block, he kind of looks out to the crowd to kind of say, hey, look at me. Then he runs to the ropes. The guy who's on the ground ends up bouncing over from his back to his stomach. So that's the drop down. While the wrestler who executed the shoulder block is running, hops over the guy who's dropped down, and on the rebound, takes a hip toss. So if you've seen that sequence, rope, shoulder block, you know, guy on the ground ends up hopping over when the guy who hit the shoulder block goes across, comes back around and eats a hip toss.
Yeah.
I got a free, anyway. I got a free, free lesson there.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put that. That was awesome.
Right.
Go ahead, Susie. You were going to say something?
I just keep to the story. You know, you got my leg,
right.
I'll get your arm.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. We're right. Looking to have the psychology of what wrestling's all about.
Oh, boy.
I'll give you the high spot here and there and get you excited and make you be in there with me. But
did you hear that? She'll let you be in there with her. Bullshit.
I like how you picked up on the subtle trash talk. She almost
right.
knocked that one by.
Yeah, listen, she wasn't getting by me because I know it's about me. We don't... Come on, man. Get by her. I hit her one time. I hit her one time in an entire match and got the bejesus beat out of me. No.
You
had to take it.
Oh, I had to take it. You know what? And I don't have, listen.
The one you booked with, he ran.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The funny thing about all of that is, though, you know what? It wasn't another person in that locker room that was going to do that.
No.
So I had to do it. I had to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't mind doing it. I've worked you quite a few times. I love your I love your belly to belly. I love that. It's beautiful. I love your bulldog out in the corner. That's beautiful. It's just that, you know, here's the thing. A lot of those guys didn't train with you or work with you. They wouldn't have known what the hell was doing. They probably would have been hurt straight up because they had no clue. You know?
Yeah.
And God forbid one of them took a pot shot at you or tried to do something that was not kosher in any way or to make you look dumb. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I would have felt sorry for any of them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to – Susan can work any style and Susan can work with anybody as long as you are – what you say you are and what you can do and how you can do. If you can't, you're done. You're not getting a spot. You're not getting a damn thing in a match. She's going to beat bejesus out of me. Okay, it's over at that point.
When Big Hoss went over to the MMA, the Palmetto Championship Wrestling, where they trained at, they were all up there training, was trying to help him, and then I sat there and said, y'all step back. And then Big Hoss got up there and started having a match. And there wasn't a single person in that gym that was training for MMA that wasn't standing around that gym or that ring watching me and Big Hoss do what we did. And then they couldn't believe it after he hit me with a big flash when I stood up and sat there and said, would any of y'all like to learn how to do this?
Right.
We stopped the MMA fighters from what they were doing because they thought we were beating the bejesus out of each other. Because we sold it. We did what we were supposed to do.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's what it's about, man.
Yeah.
It's about doing what you, we've already given too much out of the bag, but it's you're supposed – if you can – when we were trained and Susie broke us down to nothing, you tell your story from the time you hit that curtain – to the time you go back and that curtain hits you in the ass on the way back in. You tell your story the whole time. It's not a half-assed thing. You know, if you half-ass it, then your match is going to be half-assed. Exactly. And if you start getting into that, and if you start getting into that lazy kind of thing, you, then that's all you're going to be is a lazy wrestler.
Exactly.
You don't want to learn. You don't want to go any further than what you've been. You know, and that brings me back to what Terrell said. Terrell was down there at the Nightmare Factory, and he said he asked QT why he wasn't yelling and kicking people out of the gym because they were on their cell phones and they were doing it. He goes, this is as far as they're going to go. If that's as far as they want to go, that's as far as they're going to go. That's it. And he goes,
yeah.
okay, but why do we have bodies in the gym that aren't paying attention? I would have said that straight up. I'd have been like, then why are they here?
Yeah.
If you invited them here to be a part and participate, they need to participate, not, you know, texting or whatever they're doing. They need to be paying attention. If they're not paying attention,
mm-hmm.
then you just got bodies in the building sucking up air that I could have. That's how I look at it. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I know up north, I know the Monster Factory, and what's the other one? What's the one that Tommy Dreamer has?
The
House of Hardcore?
No, Hardcore, that's it, yeah.
So he's not going to put up with that.
Mm-mm.
He's like
nope,
Susan. He's old. He's not super old, but he's old and gritty. He's not gonna put up with that,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, people that want to take your money will don't give a crap.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's the catch. That's the catch
right
there.
Right. But you know why they don't give a crap? Because they know they're not booking your ass. So, you know, you're not on the friends, family, and lover program, so you're not gonna get in. So I mean,
yep.
it's awful to say that in this day and time. It's awful to say that with so much talent out there that you can give a youngster an opportunity or somebody who's a veteran. Like, all right, the Butcher and the Blade. Come on,
mm-hmm.
man. You got that old big son of a gun and you couldn't give Terrell a shot?
Yep.
I mean, really? That dude
is old as I am. Ben Hosh was stronger than Mark Henry coming out of the Olympics.
I know.
You know, and he was on juice and Big Hoss is, you know, and he could out bench press and out lift and out the whole nine yards, you know. and they still gave Mark Henry, and I sat there and said, well, Hosh is kind of, it might be the color thing. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And they were wanting to draw that crowd, so that's the crowd that went, you know. But I've been to many a power lift with Big Hoss, and he'd sit there and say, I need somebody to get me pumped, you know. And I'd sit there, and nobody would want to hit him, and I'd be over there just slapping the crap out of him. And they'd go, he's going to hit you back. Better not. He wanted me to hit him. He better not.
Right? He asked for it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he wanted to get pumped, so I was pumping him.
That's right. But that's just, you know, it doesn't make sense like that. Like Mark Henry will tell you, when he got started, he didn't know jack about wrestling. He wasn't getting the proper training when he first got there. He had no freaking clue. And then when the Nation of Domination came about, he got a phone call sitting home telling him, you got to get a black suit and you got to be up here tomorrow. He goes, I ran to Goodwill and found a black suit and I was there the next day. He goes, I didn't even know what the hell I was going to be doing, but I was there. Well, that's in his story. And I think his story is compelling too, because he didn't know nothing about no wrestling. Of course, Hawk already had all that. And I think that might have been an edge, too, because they wanted somebody who was dumb and who wasn't smartened up yet. I think that was another cause, another reason.
Oh,
yeah.
I guarantee. Yeah. I guarantee it, yep.
Because they want to be able to tell you, no, we're going to put you in this suit, and you're going to do this, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, Big Hoss, the data told Big Hoss, well, we're going to put you in this gorilla suit. Now, he'd be like, no, I ain't doing that. You know, or it just depends on what it is. You know, I mean, back then, some of them had say so. Nobody has any say so now. You do this, and that's it.
Yeah,
I put you in this Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. I had a question.
No, you're good.
Who was, like, was there any particular wrestler that you kind of did a lot of catch with, like maybe Stro or somebody else?
Who, me?
Catch wrestling. Yeah.
I haven't, I haven't been in the ring with Stro, to be honest with you. I would love to have been in. I'm still trying to work that out if I can get one in with him at least. It's only been a few people that could actually go and do that and make it look good. And a lot of these kids, you know, want to come out the gate and just go. And it's like, no, we're not doing that, you know, and do all this dumb stuff. A lot of these kids don't understand why and how and things that you do when you do things like that or open up trying to feel each other out, a couple headlock takeovers here or there, you know, a couple this and that, a couple tests of strength. They don't understand why you're doing that. They just figure, come on, we're gonna get a headlock, I'm gonna pick you up and give you belly to back suplex. Well, you just killed me. What am I going to do for after that?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So they don't get it, dude. I could do it with Susan. I could do it with my tag team partner, Preston. We had fun doing that. Fun doing it with Skippy. I hate to say that, but doing it with the Zebra Kid. He was good at it. He was good at all of it. Catcher's catch can. He was good at chain. He was good at all those things. Only problem was, after you got past that point, he was dead in the water. So, once you got past that point, it was no build for a finish because it would be like, what are we doing now? Since we did all that, well, it's time to pretty much hit you, know, set you up for a finish. That's basically where we're going from this point. But you know, it. A lot of people just like today just don't have a clue, Steve, at all. Because if you watch anything WWE or AEW, I mean, it's like they're already into the ropes, to the bell rings.
Yeah.
I was watching. Sorry, I was watching Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. That's why I was asking. I was watching Bloodsport. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
They do the catch style.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? And that's a good style. The problem is there's not many of us left to know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. There's not a lot of – if you go and look at anything, Japanese wrestlers can do it, and they do it a lot more than anybody. Mexico doesn't do it anymore at all. Because they're hitting the rope and flying out of it before you can say, before
right.
even the bell rings. Okay.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing, though. That's a lost art. And you brought up a good point. That's a lost art. Nobody's doing that. There's nobody teaching it. There's nobody putting that in their repertoire. There's no, you know, it's not there. We did that a lot. I did it with another two I did it with was Black Angel and Deion Johnson. Loved it. Just go, man.
Yeah.
Just go. We'll see what happens. You know,
right.
It's like, all right. My kind of match. Didn't say a word. Let's roll.
Yeah. Back in the
I can do that with
a lot of the women that I work with is like, when we get out in the middle of the ring, we'll see what happens. You know, see what the people want.
Thank you. Exactly. And you and I can do that. Me and Happy Hour can do that. Sinister definitely can do that. I've seen him do it a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not there. It's just that it's not in the forefront anymore. Nobody's really putting that in their wheelhouse anymore. And I think it sucks because, like I said, if you watch WWE or AEW, what's the first thing that happens? They grab somebody and they either twist them and throw them in the rope, throw them in the corner. They, you know, flip and flopping already. Within 5 seconds, it's like, well, we're done.
Yeah.
Nobody even touched each other yet. We're already done.
WWE, they're, you know, it's mainly 30 minutes of talking and 5 minutes of wrestling. So, you know, you don't have the wrestling that we had back in the day.
No. Well, they got to here's what – yeah, go ahead. Well, they're trying to fill a three-hour time slot on Monday.
Yeah, with me, I can remember when we had a tag team, we knew we were going 2 out of 3. You know, in a minute break in between falls, and you sit there in the rain. And you had you're going to do 35 minutes of a 45-minute time limit. And nowadays, it's all one fall, 10 or 15 minutes, and you're out of there within five.
Or you do the thing like Cody did and gave
Darby?
Peter Avalon is 15 minutes of fame and actually went 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which should have never done. That guy's horrible. And then who is the big dude they brought in? The guy that I bet he's bigger than Tyrell, but he's green as all can be. And he hurt Cody, dropped him on the shoulder like 2 weeks ago because they gave him his 15 seconds of fame. And what happened? They gave him two moves, and one of them he hurt Cody on. Why would you even do that? Why would Cody even want to take a move that from some green kid that's like 6'7", 6'8"? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, Manetti. I mean, it is what it is. The wrestling is Wardlow. I heard he's funny, though.
Yeah, he is.
I know that I was at the IWE show in 2018. I think it was that it was in Augusta, in the same building that all these people run out of. Isn't that right, Greg? Anyway, yes.
I got another.
Sinister, just say yes. Hey, hang on just a second. I remember that, what's his name? Jake Hager was there, did an autograph signing. He did his autograph signing, and it was in a VFW, no, American Legion. All he did was sit at the bar. And he goes, oh, he had to fly out the next morning. He goes, oh, man, he goes, this was like in March. He goes, I got a fight in September MMA. He goes,
Bellator,
if I keep drinking like, he goes, if I keep drinking like this, he goes, I'm not going to be able to fight nobody. So funny, man. I was like, well. You better call it. And he got somebody to come pick him up, too. He's like, fuck this. I got to get somebody to pick me up. So somebody came from the hotel or wherever and picked him up. Go ahead.
I wanted to know, whose happy hour is, like, toughest opponent?
Yeah, happy hour.
Toughest opponent? Well, you know, that's going to be, if you're talking about, are you talking, like, legit tough or toughest from like the match really went tough.
Probably legit tough, but either one.
Yeah.
Oh well, the physically toughest guy I was in the ring with, easily Beastman. You know, here's the thing about Beastman. He does cardio. He actually does cardio, which is why, you know, you see him and you're like, wow, this big guy can move. Oh wow. 5 minutes in, this big guy isn't blown up like his opponent who looks like he shouldn't be blown up in 5 minutes. And that's just it. Cardio.
That's like
cardio.
Dusty.
So Beastman
like Dusty.
Is legit tough. Yeah, Beastman is legit tough. So no question about it. That's one. As far as in the ring, best.
Hardest
in the
match.
Oh, man. Actually, there's a lot of them. But I'm trying to think of one. A relatively recent one. Keep an eye out for Zach Thomas. So Zach Thomas is out of Ohio, and I had a match with him back in 2019 or late 2018, early 2019. And he, he is a hard hitter. He actually used to tag team with Atticus Koger, who's now moving up in the indie hardcore circuit. And, he I think in the next couple of years, you'll see more of him. He's only like 24, 25 years old. So he's on the up and up. So definitely keep an eye out for the man at war, Zach Morgan. I mean, Zach Thomas.
Nice. Nice. Have to look him up. That's cool.
Same.
That is cool. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that name. That's good. All right. Who would you like to work? Who would be somebody you'd like to work like now before you put the boots on the shelf?
Well, here's the thing. One match that I did get, it was last Intergender Bonanza. I got that kind of inspired me with sort of like what's a good wish list of guys I'd love to be in the ring with. So this past Intergender Bonanza, I got to do a tag team match. So on the other team was the King of Smokes, Frankie Picard. I don't know how familiar you guys are with CZW, but he's a CZW grad. And
cool.
Yep, he's had some great matches that are built, and he actually wrestles at H2O. So that's Matt Tremont's promotion. So there's a lot of Frankie Picard content. Excellent character from a psychology standpoint. Excellent gimmick because the crowd loves it. And he's a really, really good wrestler. Really good wrestler. He can dial it up or dial it down to match his opponent, because I think that's probably the greatest talent a wrestler can bring, is being able to adjust to put on a good match no matter who your opponent is. So I can't say enough about Frankie Picard. Now, that motivates me. If I had a dream match, it would be me versus Orange Cassidy. The drunk versus
nice.
The savant.
That'd be funny. Now that'd be funny. I like that. I dig that. All right, I'm going to go around the room. Steve, tell us all your social media platforms, because I know that's what you like to plug, and we need to know where we can find you. Because a lot of people have been asking me about you, and I've been telling them to look for you. So let's hit it again.
Yeah, I'm Stellar Steven on Twitch and Twitter. One word, Stellar Steven. So, just thanks for having me on. Enjoyed talking to Happy Hour.
I did too. And I'm gonna, before I get to everybody else, Susie, you might want to be on next week.
Sure.
Because. Until he says otherwise, and I told him he could cancel at the last minute if he needed to. But we're going to have Rick McCord next Sunday night.
Hey, all right.
Which is Patrick Helvey. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to be here for that.
Yeah.
He told me some stories that I didn't, I hadn't heard. And then so I went and it was funny. I was talking to him, right? So I went to YouTube. And what is the first match that pops up? Because he says, well, I've wrestled Randy Savage, you know, blah, blah, X amount of times. I said, okay. Well, the first match is him and Exotic Adrian Street. That's on YouTube. That was so funny.
All right, guys, we got 90 seconds left.
All right, it was great. Happy Hour, you got anything to plug?
Well, most importantly, 412 Brewery, I'm new owner. I'll be on the GCW pre-show WrestleMania weekend. I will also be on Intergender Bonanza. And then, of course, there's the Brews and Bruises Festival in September.
Wait. You got anything going on, Sinister?
I think he has dropped off.
Okay. Susie, you got anything you want to promote? Real quick?
No, I have really nothing to promote. If anybody's interested in looking for female wrestlers that are female athletes that are looking to be wrestling, just look me up on the Gem of Pain and Glory. I've got plenty of men that's wanting to train and just waiting for this pandemic to get over.
Okay. Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for being on Pro Wrestling Interviews. We hope to see you next week. Happy Hour. Will you come back again?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to come back.
Cool. So anytime, you're welcome anytime. Anytime you want to come back and add your 2 cents, so you can do that. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Hey, Velvet. Yeah, I've got something to plug. Tomorrow night, Scarycast, we've got marathon runner Kevin Clark from Charleston, one of the nicest people you ever met, and he's going to tell us what it takes to be a marathon runner. He's running 4 of the 6 major marathons in the world. And so that's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night, 9 p.m.
Wow.
Scarycast on Facebook. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern,
all right,
on Pro Wrestling Interviews. You got
love
it.
You guys.
Love y'all,
talk
guys.
To y'all later. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Good night, y'all.